This is Susan Franson, and you are listening to Heart of Iowa. Today's program is a recording of the community celebration in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., held on January 20th, 2014, at the Ames Middle School. The celebration began in the open space of the cafeteria with birthday cake and music by the Ames High Jazz Band. So we'll start off our program with a few minutes of their playing to set the tone of festivity before the more serious program in the auditorium.
Thank you.
thanks to the Ames High School Jazz Band, playing for the audience gathering at the middle school to celebrate Martin Luther King Day on January 20th, 2014. This is KHOI Community Radio, Heart of Iowa, presenting a recording of the event. Now it's time to go into the auditorium and turn the program over to Edna Clinton, Master of Ceremonies.
Good evening. Welcome to the 2014 Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. Thank you for braving the weather to be here tonight. And at this time, I would like the committee who spent countless number of hours to put this event together for us. If you will stand and face the audience, we would like to give you a warm welcome from the Ames community. Committee members, please stand. We will now be entertained by students from Meeker and Edwards Elementary School with a musical production as well as a factual production. Curtains, please.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. I don't want to say a whole lot and take up a lot of the time. I am so proud of these guys. What you're seeing in front of you are volunteers, as you know. But these kids and I had a great talk. We've seen each other twice since winter break, and we had an incredibly good conversation about what Martin Luther King stood for, what he lived for, and what he died for. And these kids have had great questions, and they've been very receptive, and they understand what was going on, and they understand how things needed to change and how we are part of that change. I also want to say that just as soon as we are done, the kindergarten and first grade will be the first ones off. And if you would like to have them sit with you, that would be a great idea for you to stand up. Kindergarten and first grade parents, stand up and bring them to you on our way back off the stage. We will also have five of our students will be doing some facts as we are going off the stage as well. But thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for letting me teach your students. Thank you for giving me the honor of standing in front of these guys and singing these songs, because the truth is these are great kids learning great lessons.
Martin Luther King, he had a dream for Luther King was born Michael King on January 15, 1929. He later changed his name to Martin Luther in honor of the German reformer. Dr. King is a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, Incorporated. Alpha Phi Alpha is the first intercollegiate Greek letter fraternity established for African Americans.
Dr. King's nonviolent approach to civil rights was inspired by Gandhi. In 1957, Dr. King was elected president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, an organization formed to provide leadership for the civil rights movement.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. graduated from high school at 15. In 1948, Dr. King received a degree from Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Morehouse is a distinguished, historically black college from which Dr. King's father and grandfather graduated.
On October 14, 1964, at the age of 35, Dr. King became the youngest man to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. When Dr. King was notified that he would receive the Nobel Peace Prize, he announced that he would use the prize money of $54,123 to the further case of the civil rights movement.
Dr. King was assassinated on April 4, 1968, in Memphis, Tennessee, where he was to lead a protest march with the garbage workers of that city.
Now we will have a presentation of the Ames Humanitarian Award, something that is esteemed and honored by all citizens. Now, the presenter, please.
Hi, I'm Amy Junkie. Oh, thank you. I'm the current chair of the Ames Human Relations Commission, and I definitely can't sing as well as all these great kids that were up here. The Ames Human Relations Commission exists to seeks to prevent discriminatory practices in the community and help Ames become an even more welcoming community. By awarding a humanitarian award each year, what we hope is to highlight an individual who contributes to our community through their efforts to promote fairness and equality. And everyone can see the benefits in that. But it seems like everyday life sometimes gets in the way. But Daryl and Joyce Faggy of Ames knew Raleigh Link, a retired Ames police officer, was someone who did take the time. He took the time to learn about a diverse community of people. He learned about it himself and then took the time to educate the community on their diverse needs and their culture and how we can work together. At a time when Ames saw a considerable increase in Spanish-speaking populations, Raleigh took it upon himself as a self-improvement project to learn Spanish. In addition to securing tutors, he also recognized that Spanish isn't just a language. He realized it's part of a culture. So he didn't just take a Spanish class. He recruited tutors of many Spanish-speaking countries, and that's how he learned the language. But even more than that, he learned it mostly by engaging people, Spanish-speaking people, in the community. He did it through his job. He did it through hanging out where people who spoke Spanish hung out. I pulled a quote from the nomination form. Raleigh said, "You can learn a lot of Spanish while standing at the bottom end of a couch that won't fit through a door." As his Spanish improved, he began volunteering at a free clinic to help people, and he was translating. He helped families translate to get their kids enrolled in school. He helped translate notes that came home from school. And even Raleigh and one of his peers even produced a series of videos which aired on local access cable channel, basically helping families adjust to their new community. So what started as learning a language turned into sharing a new culture and finding better ways for Ames residents and professionals to work with one another, making Ames a more welcoming community. Unfortunately, Raleigh's out of the country, So Commander Jeff Huff is going to receive this award upon his honor.
Good evening and thank you. As you'll find out in a second where Raleigh is, he couldn't be here tonight. He called me and asked if I would accept the award on his behalf, and I was more than happy to do so. I've known Raleigh for just over 20 years. He was actually one of my field training officers when I started the police department, and I learned a lot from him. And we happen to also be neighbors, so we see each other just about every day when he happens to be in the country. So I called him and I said, well, I can stand up and accept the award, but I think they should hear your words. And so he found a place where he could get some internet connection, and he sent me a note, and I'm going to read his words so that you can hear directly from him. I'm sorry that I cannot attend tonight. As I write this, I'm sitting in my apartment in Old San Juan, Puerto Rico, listening to the chatter of my neighbors and passersby speaking a language that has become my own. I want to start out by thanking Daryl Veggie and Joyce Veggie for nominating me for this award. They both should be recognized as well for the work that they do and have done for the community. I also want to thank Jeff Huff for accepting this award for me. He's not only a colleague and a neighbor, but he's also a good friend, and he is a good friend to me too. Most of all, however, I would like to recognize the Ames Police Department. I know quite well that if I had not been a police officer on the Ames Police Department, I would never have made this journey. When I became determined to learn to speak Spanish, the Ames Police Department gave me the opportunity to get out into the Spanish-speaking community here in Ames, not just to practice speaking the language, but to become part of that culture, which is as important as the language is itself. And as my ability to speak the language grew, and I became comfortable in the homes and neighborhoods where the Spanish-speaking community of Ames lived and worked, it was the Ames Police Department that gave me the opportunity and the tools to reach out to that segment of our community and put those skills to good use. So I thank them for the opportunity to serve. Equally important, I would like to thank the Latino community in Ames. They have given me much more than I will ever be able to repay. They have taken me to places I would never have gone if not for their patience and help. I have learned so much from them, not only the language, but also I have learned to love the Latino people. I have made friends that I would never have made. I've gone to countries and lived in communities that I would have never visited if not for them. If not for my experiences with the Latino community and the many friends that I have made, I am sure that I would not be sitting here in Old San Juan enjoying the warm ocean breezes instead of the cold north wind. That's kind of mean, especially tonight. So I thank them again for everything they have done for me. I thank them for giving me a richer and fuller life. I finally want to thank the Ames Human Relations Commission for awarding me this recognition. I am humbled. Please know that while I cannot be there to accept it, my heart is with you all. Those are his words. Now I got to do one thing for him because I told him I was going to do this. And if you know Raleigh, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. So I told him I was going to take a picture so he knew what it felt like to stand up in front of y'all. So make sure everybody smiles, and you need to keep your eyes open.
Okay. Ready? There we go. 1, 2, 3. Your eyes are closed. Let's try one more time. Good. And we got to get this side.
Perfect, and I'll post those on the Ames Police Department Facebook page when I get home tonight so you can all look at it. Thank you very much, and I'm honored to accept this award on behalf of Raleigh Link.
I knew there was a reason I didn't exercise today, because going up and down them stairs will do it for me. Tonight, we are honored. Our keynote speaker, Dr. Pamela Anthony, started out in Portsmouth, Virginia. From there, she went to James Madison University, earning a Bachelor of Science degree, then going on to the University of Georgia for her master's, and finally her PhD from Georgia State. She has served as the Assistant Dean of Students at Georgia State, the Director of Student Affairs at Spelman College, and the coordinator of multicultural affairs at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She has participated in two higher education international exchanges to Ireland and China. She believes higher education is her calling and is excited about the opportunity to pursue her passion at a university that authentically values and expects partnerships across academic and student affairs that prioritize student success. In her leadership role here at Iowa State University, Dr. Anthony's responsibilities include 15 different areas having an impact on 30,000 students. She is committed to positively enhancing the student experience for current and future Cyclones. It is with pleasure that I present to you Dr. Pamela Anthony.
Good evening. Now, y'all can do better than that. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you, babies. Thank you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All men, and women and children, I might add, are created equal. This most basic principle, found within the preamble of the United States Declaration of Independence, serves as a foundational premise undergirding today's occasion, the 28th annual observance of a national holiday commemorating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a pioneer of civil and human rights. Good evening. I was just testing to make sure you were paying attention. Thank you so much to Edna Clinton for the warm introduction. I am especially grateful to the Martin Luther King Community Planning Committee for inviting me to share with you what Dr. Martin Luther King means to me. One thing I know about giving a speech is people expect three things. They want you to be funny, they want you to be relevant, and most importantly, they want you to be brief. So I don't know that I'll be funny, and I don't know that I will be relevant, but I will certainly try to be brief. As a child of the 70s, I was taught about Dr. Martin Luther King primarily from my grandparents and my parents. Both my maternal and paternal grandparents were raised in rural North Carolina, and I can recall their conversations about racism in the South. I remember my grandfather espousing peace and prayer as the preferred weapons of how to survive during a time when the color of a person's skin contributed to society's determination, not the truth, but society's determination, of their worth and value. Riding with my parents from our home in Virginia to Scotland Neck in Halifax County, North Carolina, the inquisitive me wandered about and out loud about the pretty white flowers growing in the fields, only to be told that those flowers were actually cotton fields, which represented my ancestors' plight with slavery. And yet all men are created equal. Today we honor a man whose unrelenting pursuit of equality for all individuals literally changed the landscape of race relations in America. A man who pursued his passion for nonviolence and service as he advocated for the eradication of discrimination. A man who fought until his last untimely breath, ultimately giving his life so that others might experience freedom from injustice and senseless hatred. Though contextualized in the civil rights movement, Dr. King's collective mission, or his dream as we know it, was indeed a global vision, one that gave dignity and worth to all individuals, regardless of their race, color, gender, religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity, age, physical ability, socioeconomic status, or any other polarizing characteristics that are used to disenfranchise one group from another. When I think about Dr. King, I think of him as the ultimate change agent. Now, true enough, he did not enact change alone, but rather along the likes of Rosa Parks, Ralph David Abernathy, and his co-founding of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which we heard about earlier, just to name a few. Dr. King shepherded individuals and a nation through the civil rights era with a simple yet profound notion of a dream, one that remains relevant even in 2014. As we celebrate Dr. King, it is important that we embrace his legacy, yet continue to do our part in ensuring that his efforts are not immortalized without action that is still so desperately needed. As we listen to Dr. King's speeches and read many of his writings, we encounter his notion of what is called the fierce urgency of now. We learn that when Dr. King saw disparity in the world, he felt a need to act, and to do so immediately, purposefully, and collaboratively. I believe we can all learn from this message. When Dr. King looked upon our nation, he saw not only great challenges, but extraordinary opportunities. He saw infinite possibilities. And he saw clearly that for every individual to be free and for our founding ideals to be realized, our entire society had to be transformed. All men are created equal. Despite the challenges and obstacles against him, Dr. King was undeterred. He allowed his faith in himself, in God, and strangely enough, in humanity to transcend evil and to set our country on a necessary path toward freedom. And despite those who stood in his way, an entire nation even, he proved that large-scale, sweeping, righteous change is not impossible. It is not too audacious. Change is not too ambitious. Dr. King proved that a single person willing to act has the power to improve the world. I believe that each one of us has the same responsibility to try to do the same thing. History has shown us that our most noble pursuits may be inspired by frustration just as often as by faith. Has anyone in here ever been frustrated? Mm-hmm. All right. Just making, again, just this is a pulse check, making sure y'all still listen. One of the most important lessons that Dr. King left us is that it is acceptable to be frustrated. It is fine to be impatient. And when progress does not come quickly or fully or as you had anticipated it, it's only natural to be dissatisfied. In fact, being frustrated, impatient, and dissatisfied is fine, but only if those feelings compel us to take action. I really enjoy celebrating the national holiday because the principle of the holiday is not just a celebration of who Dr. King is, but it is a celebration of our community. It is a celebration of different people coming together and understanding that we all have a responsibility to the communities in which we live. And so what can I do? What can you do to further Dr. King's mission? There are three things that come to mind that I would like to challenge us all to think about. The first thing that we can all do is to be vigilant. I am of the belief that if one of us is not free, none of us are free. It is not enough to laud Dr. King as a national hero on one day of the year. Rather, we must regularly look for ways to serve others, making service a lifestyle rather than an episodic project or a chore of something we have to do. We must use our personal, educational, and political influences to look beyond our own circumstances to aid our brothers and our sisters. And even if the person sitting beside you does not look like you, they are still your brother or your sister. While racism was certainly at the forefront of Dr. King's mission, he also passionately spoke of the need to eliminate poverty. As Dr. King stated, "The time has come for an all-out world war against poverty. The well-off and the secure have too often become indifferent and oblivious to the poverty and deprivation in their midst. Ultimately, a great nation is a compassionate nation. No individual or nation can be great if it does not have a concern for the least of these. It is our responsibility, those of us living here in Ames and living in Iowa and all over the state and all over the world, to be concerned for the least of these. Poverty, homelessness, and hunger are all around us, and yet we sometimes act as if those issues don't impact us. I'm sure that there is work to be done right here in the city of Ames. And attending to the needs of our communities requires purpose and intentionality. Of course, we can have dreams full of hope for that great day when everything is right in the world, but that day will never come if we are not vigilant in our efforts. In addition to being vigilant, the second thing we must do is to be vocal. We must use our voices to continue the conversations that Dr. King and others started. We cannot allow fear to intimidate us from speaking up and speaking out when we see people mistreating others. We should not be quiet when laws are passed to protect certain groups yet disproportionately marginalize others. We should not accept substandard educational systems in our communities while we send our children to elite private schools. Our voices have power, and it's actually possible to be vocal in silence. That is, sometimes you can show people better than you can tell them. If a corporation practices discrimination or makes disparaging remarks about select groups of people, use your economic voice and stop patronizing that business. If a school district refuses to use diverse pedagogical approaches, use your educational voice to challenge administrators to make modifications that can positively impact all students. Every student deserves a chance to learn. Regardless of the issue, being vocal takes courage, and yet courage is necessary if change is ever going to occur. And so I've asked you to be vigilant. I've asked you to be vocal. The third and final thing I will ask of you as we honor Dr. King's primary message to the world, and that is to be nonviolent. It seems a strange thing to ask, I'm sure, but none of us in this room are immune to senseless violence. Do you remember when we could go to a movie and all we had to worry about was, is the movie going to be good and is the popcorn going to be good? Do you remember going to high school or college and not having to worry about a mass shooter or to practice emergency drills? Now, whether or not you believe in gun rights isn't what I'm debating today. However, I would challenge us all to consider Dr. King and Mahatma Gandhi's principles of nonviolent social change as we seek to improve our schools and our communities. We must learn how to have civil discourse when we disagree with each other, rather than turn to bullying, harassment, cyber courage, and other immature forms of hatred and bigotry. In studying Dr. King's journey, we find that his strength was actually rooted in dissatisfaction. It was his hunger for justice, his thirst for peace, and his empathy for others that helped to motivate his lifelong struggle to ensure equal rights, equal justice, and equal opportunity. Despite a lifetime of dissatisfaction regarding the way certain people were treated, Dr. King remained committed to a nonviolent perspective of influencing change. As he stated, Nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon which cuts without wounding and ennobles the man who wields it. It is a sword that heals. How do you respond when you become angry? I think anger is a powerful and necessary emotion, and yet our call to consciousness and action must continue from a nonviolent perspective, because violence and healing cannot peaceably coexist. All men are created equal. If we can commit to being vigilant, vocal, and nonviolent, I believe we can accomplish Dr. King's goal of creating common ground where people from all walks of life could join together to resolve issues toward global and inclusive freedom. Working alongside people of all ages, races, and backgrounds, Dr. King encouraged all Americans to work together to strengthen communities, reduce poverty, and acknowledge dignity and the respect for human life. As I prepare to take my seat, I am reminded of the lifelong debt that I owe, that we all owe, to the man, the movement, and the mission embodied in Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King's vision of America is captured in his messages of hope and the possibility of a future anchored in sensitivity and mutual respect. His dreams and aspirations are ones that challenge us to recognize that our true strength lies in our diversity of talents. The work of the individuals associated with the civil rights movement has undoubtedly made our country a better place. And yet, we still have work to do. On this national holiday, I pause to salute a man who literally sacrificed his life so that an individual like me could stand before you today. His life's work is reflected in a country which elected its first African-American president just 6 years ago. Yes, there is still work to do. Dr. King's rich legacy is an inspiration, but it is also a responsibility. In the spirit of courage and his unapologetic tenacity for the greater good of all people, let us signal to the world that in America, the pursuit of a more perfect union lives on as we march toward the promised land of equity for all individuals, no matter what you look like, no matter where or to whom you were born, no matter who you choose to love, no matter where you live, no matter how much money or access to resources you have or don't have, no matter what degree or sense of education you have or don't have, no matter what religion you choose or choose not to practice, no matter what gender best describes you, and certainly no matter what the color of your skin. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women and children are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thank you, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Hannah Dankbar. I'm an AmeriCorps VISTA with the Volunteer Center of Story County, and I definitely can't follow up Dr. Anthony, so I'm going to keep this real brief right now. MLK Day was declared a federal holiday in 1983, but just closing offices and having a day off isn't the best way to celebrate Dr. King, as Dr. Anthony talked about. And actually, Martin Luther King Day was declared a national day of service in 1994. So to celebrate the mission of Dr. King and the National Day of Service, the Volunteer Center of Story County organized 11 different service projects today. We had over 130 volunteers take their day off and come out and volunteer with us, which was amazing. We had volunteers starting at 9 a.m. cleaning the floors at Access, and we have volunteers wrapping up around 7 o'clock, right around right now, by serving a meal at Food at First. Some of our other projects included making hats and scarves for local shelters, cleaning at Access and ERP, that's the Emergency Residence Project, sorting at Ballard Community Clothes Pantry and Goodwill, serving and working at Food at First, and doing some activities with kids at Laverne. The Volunteer Center also had a discussion about environmental stewardship focused on beekeeping this afternoon. We hope our volunteers had a great time and that our community is one step closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. We hope that people learn from Dr. King and become involved in their communities the rest of the year. And we look forward to MLK Day in 2015. Thanks.
It is always difficult to be the last one on the program because you have people like Dr. Anthony to follow. However, I have a bit of a message, and this message is for the children and the young people. Many of you have been learning about Dr. King for the first time, and for others, it is a repeat of what you have learned before. However, I want to tell you a story, but first, I need you to close your eyes. Sit back, relax, listen, and take a deep breath. Okay? Got your eyes closed? You know I can see you all the way back in the back there, so I know if you have your eyes closed. Into a family, a child was born, growing up with a sense of unconditional love, developing a strong character, and becoming aware of the injustice and a lack of freedom practiced in our nation. This child decided that things needed to be changed, but knew to effect change required being the best. So the child set out to be the best. This child went on a quest, which resulted in many changes. Yet, there is still work to be done. Still got your eyes closed? Okay. Now, young people, picture that child as yourself and change the things that need to be changed. You may open your eyes. Take this take this message home with you. Hound your parents if you must. When you see an injustice, don't stand for it. Fight it intellectually, as Dr. King did. Let your parents know that you like the child across the street that does not speak the same language that you speak, does not look like you from head to toe. He or she is your sibling. We are princes and kings. Princes and princes. Okay? We are children of kings. Let us act like it. Thank you. And I appreciate you allowing me to get up here and say the few words that I have said. I hope that everything tonight has been inspirational for you, and to know that we should live this day the rest of the 364 days of the year. It is not enough to come together for an hour and a half, have some cake, drink some water, listen to some Grammy Award-winning voices, incredible people receive awards, or have an inspirational speech given to us. I might add, free of service. I believe that AIMS can do better. But in order for us to do better, We must all work together. We must all be able to look ourselves in the mirror, in the privacy of your own home, if you will, and say, I have a problem with this. And if it is the type of a problem that is not just or hinders someone else's freedom, then you need to be honest with yourself and change your attitude. This is my challenge to the Ames community. I believe we can do it. Are you with me? Didn't hear ya. Are you with me? All right. Let us honor our children so that we will have a comfortable future. Thank you.
On the back of your program is the song, We Shall Overcome. The students and I have been working on it in the classroom. And so if you don't know it very well, listen to them. Hopefully they will sing as strong. And I don't want you just saying words. I want you thinking about where this came from. I want you to think about what you're talking about. We shall overcome this. This song comes out of a time where struggles were very deep. But as you read through these verses, we shall overcome. We are not afraid. Black and white together. We are not alone and whole wide world around. As we sing through these songs and these verses, let it mean something to you, because it sure means a lot to us, and the kids have really learned a lot these last couple of weeks. Why don't you stand up and let's sing it? Stand up if you can, if you're willing. Here we go.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday.
Very nice. We are not afraid.
We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid today. Oh, deep in my heart,
black and white together, black and white together, black and white together now. Oh, deep in my heart,
I do.
We are not alone.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for coming, and have a wonderful evening.
This is Heart of Iowa at KHOI Community Radio, bringing you a recording of the celebration of Martin Luther King Day on January 20th, 2014, at the Ames Middle School. Mm-hmm.